Now, throughout history, Satan has tried to disrupt the activity of God's people and cause them to fear. What weapons does the devil use? Why can we be confident that Jehovah will always act in behalf of his servants? Please pay special attention as Brother Andrew Sweeney, LDC field rep for Canada Zone B, an elder in the St. Albert Sturgeon Heights congregation, will answer these questions in a talk, "No weapon formed against you will have any success."
You ever had a car accident? Did it surprise you? Or were you just driving along and thought, well, today's kind of boring? No. You ever heard of a smash-up derby, though? The sole purpose is to hit another car, and you're the remaining one at the end of it. You win. The odd thing with a smash-up derby is they actually give you the choice of what vehicle you want to enter that derby into, though. So right now, which vehicle are you thinking you'd take? What about us as Christians? Is persecution going to be a surprise? No. Jesus said, in this race of life, you are going to get hit. John chapter 15, verse 20 says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. You know the good thing, though, when we know something is coming? We can prepare for it. And persecution is going to intensify as the last days progress. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, people will hand you over and will kill you. And you will be hated on account of my name. Satan is not going to show mercy in this war. He's out to get us, out to get the faithful anointed, whoever he can. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 says, like an enraged lion, he went off to wage war. This part isn't to make us feel anxious, though. This part is to prepare us. Open your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. There it says, no weapon formed against you will have any success. And you will condemn any tongue that rises up against you in the judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of Jehovah. And their righteousness is from me, declares Jehovah. Did you notice there it didn't say that there would be no weapon? Jehovah recognizes there will be weapons formed against us. What he did say is they will have no success. What are the weapons that Satan does use? You know, there's a quote that says, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. We are going to see some beautiful examples of our brothers and sisters today. Servants who have held strong and courageous serving Jehovah. Why is a weapon called a weapon? It's because it works. Well, just as persecution is going to be no surprise, neither are the weapons that Satan uses. He's used them for centuries. Physical weapons, imprisonment, beatings, torture. You know, sometimes I'm sure myself, maybe you also, have sat back and thought, how would I react if I was beaten, imprisoned? Would I hold up? Well, you know the beautiful thing is if it's reached that point that usually we face a physical weapon, it's because they already know who we are. But Satan also uses other weapons, psychological, mind games. He tries to mess with our head. How so? Humiliation. We covered in one of the videos this morning. The sister going to school, afraid, but then she realized what it would actually do if she did make others known who she was, that she was a witness and proud of it. But what about us now at work? Are we afraid to tell our workmates because, oh, you know what, it might affect my business relations with them. Things might not be the same. Is Satan using the media? Do you have a faithful course and then yet see a small, short program and all of a sudden you're questioning some beliefs? Are they working? Even think of science. Anymore, you're a fool if you believe in God. How does that affect you being seen by others? The difference between physical and mental games is you have control over these mental, psychological games. You can just shut off a TV. You can actually stand up. You have control over the outcome. They're not new. Think of Satan. Did he not try that with Jesus? You can just imagine him with his weaselly little voice saying, "Is it really so that you're the Son of God?" Almost makes you cringe, doesn't it? How could you do that to your brother who actually created you? Trying to mess with people's heads is one of the weapons. So let's look at the physical weapons that Satan has used. With the examples of the apostles. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 40. What happened to them and how did they react? Acts chapter 5, verse 40 says, "At this they took his advice and they summoned the apostles, flogged them, and ordered them to stop speaking on the basis of Jesus' name and let them go." A physical beating. How would you react? How did they react? Let's see in verses 41 and 42 of the same chapter. "So they went out from before the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy to be dishonored in behalf of his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued without let up teaching and declaring the good news about the Christ, Jesus." How did they respond? They carried on like normal. Didn't even faze them. What an example. Do you have a nice green lawn or have seen one that you really admire? And then all of a sudden around springtime, these little dandelions start popping up. And you look out and suddenly your lawn is white. Like, how did that happen? I'm going to get these guys. You go get the lawnmower. You pull it out. Vroom. But what happens with those white dandelion seeds when you hit it with the lawnmower? Did you do good? Well, the grass is green again. But what did it do with all those seeds? You know, persecution is many times like that. Satan thinks, you know what, I can eliminate this group. Comes along with his big lawnmower, and what does he do? He spreads those disciples, those faithful ones, into different areas. And then that seed takes hold and grows in a place that it might not have before. At the start of World War II, there was 72,475 Kingdom publishers. Worldwide. 6 years later, in 1945, it had doubled. 156,299 faithful servants earthwide. Do you think it took courage for them to face. You think of how many of those faithful servants, the 72,000 that went into concentration camps and never came out. But they doubled. Yearbooks show many times the faithful example that our brothers did with this persecution, this physical persecution. But in the 2008 yearbook, on page 128 and 130, it speaks of how they even tried head games, these mind games. Satan tried to affect their thinking. So they had well-known Russian Orthodox priests who now turned atheists. And then they would go into the camps and into cities to do lectures. When people saw the brutality of war and the lack of love, it would be very easy to give up even thinking in Jehovah, in God, because you see so much around you. So they tried to exploit this by mentally breaking the witnesses. And you know what? Didn't work. There's the examples, as we read in the yearbook, of sisters who use this nice little logic of, if there is no God, why do you bother trying to fight against him? Why are you trying to convert our minds to what you're thinking? Just carry on normal. Simple logic in a difficult circumstance. But why were they able to respond with what such faith? Well, you know why. Because they built their faith solidly. No weapon formed against you will have success. Do you have faith that Jehovah is on your side? Do you believe Jehovah is supporting his faithful servants? Well, there's something needed on our part, though. Daily reinforcement of our faith. Turn with me to Psalm 118, verse 5 to 7. Psalm 118, verse 5 to 7 says, I called on Jehovah in my distress. Jah answered and brought me into a place of safety. Jehovah is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Jehovah is on my side as a helper. I will look in triumph on those who hate me. Do you notice the footnote besides the place of safety? It actually says a roomy place. There's room for all of us. Jehovah will protect us as a group. Individually, it's true, some may succumb to Satan's weapons. Not everyone is going to survive the attacks. On April 25th, on JW.org, we learned of our two Eritrean brothers. They were imprisoned. Both were unjustly imprisoned for almost a decade, and they endured inhumane treatment and conditions and then passed away in prison. We know that those brothers are in Jehovah's memory. You know, I knew a brother, an older brother, faithful. He'd been through many difficult things in his lifetime. And I'll always remember what he said because it kind of shocked me, but it gave me a real wake-up call. He goes, I don't understand why everyone's looking forward to this great tribulation. And I was kind of like, what does he mean by that? He goes, do they not read that part in the Bible where it says, this is going to be the worst time in human history? He goes, I'm completely fine with falling asleep and waking up in paradise. He knew that Jehovah's memory would hold him with his faithful servants. But now, what about those around us? Is everyone going to remain faithful? Are those head games of Satan working? Let's go back to that illustration of the smash-up derby. I can kind of speak with some freeness of speech here because I had a couple brother-in-laws that went into one. So I guess I have a bit of a background in redneck. Remember we said you could choose whatever car you wanted to take in? You can actually put reinforcement safety devices into the car. You can put plated steel, a roll cage, 5-point harness. You're buckled in. You're ready for some punishment. So did you think about what car you wanted? Are you going to take Grandpa's old Buick, that big old boy with a big trunk, big hood, or are you going to go for a smart car? Nothing against smart cars, but this might not be the time to get into one. Weapons, mind games, can be like us mentally thinking we're smart enough to get around Satan's tactics. You know what? There's no time for me to study. There's no time for me to put on that spiritual reinforcement. I'm smart enough just to get around him. I can outwit. I can outlast. But you know, even in a smash-up derby, they put regulations as to how much armor you can put into your car because it might make it unfair for the others. It gives it a sporting chance. Satan is an enraged lion. This is war. Do you think he's going to give us a sporting chance? Jehovah knows what's coming. He knows what's in front of us, and he is trying to get us all to bolt on as much spiritual reinforcement as we can possibly get our hands on. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. There it says, "But the Lord stood near me and infused power into me, so that through me the preaching might be fully accomplished and all the nations might hear it, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth." Jehovah wants to help us. He wants to infuse power into our spirituality. On JW.org, just recently, one of our faithful brothers is now in jail. He's been there for about a year because he gave a talk in a kingdom hall in Russia. A 70-year-old retired tailor who's now in prison for giving a witness. How would you react? What if that was your father? How would you feel? Can you see the brotherhood around us that's supporting brothers like that, like with writing campaigns, the thousands of angels that are there by our side? Let's watch this video and see how Jehovah's people facing difficult times now have unwavering support from Jehovah.
Jacob was 77 years old. He was unmarried and hated by his twin brother Esau. At the direction of his parents, Jacob fled to the land of Abraham's relatives. When he stopped to rest for the night, Jehovah gave Jacob full assurance of divine support. In a dream, Jacob saw a ladder or stairway leading from earth to heaven. Angels were busily ascending and descending the stairway. Then Jehovah spoke to Jacob, saying, "I am with you, and I will safeguard you wherever you go." Just as Jehovah proved to be with Jacob, so he has been with his people throughout history. From ancient times to our day, this world has tried to disturb the peace that God's people enjoy. Jehovah cares for his people. Guided by Jehovah's Holy Spirit and with the support of the angels, we are able to stand by our brothers and sisters under attack. As a result, we feel as though we are standing as one person against Satan's attacks. Jehovah is truly on our side.
Loyal love for Jehovah. That's what will help us endure circumstances like that. Jehovah has given us everything. He has the power over everything. He is equipping us to conquer Satan with no matter what weapon Satan throws at us. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. There it says, "And they conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their witnessing. And they did not love their souls even in the face of death." Since the time of Job, Satan has been trying to lie and say that we love our life more than God. The resurrection shows that Jehovah is not only unlimited in power and wisdom, but also love and mercy. It is the way that he vindicates his name as the preserver of those who loyally support him. The June Watchtower of 2007, under the article "Set Your Heart on Spiritual Treasures" by Brother Knorr, stated regarding victories in the Supreme Court, and I quote, "The victories are won due to your fight. If the publisher had not kept on in the field, there would be no cases in the Supreme Court. But it is because you, the publisher, the brothers all over the world, keep on and will not quit, that the defeat of persecution is brought about. It is this victory in the Lord's people standing firm and finally brings the decision." The following video will show the strong faith our brothers and sisters are showing in the face of this persecution.
I was imprisoned for a year and 3 months for upholding Christian neutrality.
I was in a cell with all types of hardened criminals.
I was sitting at home. My whole family had been arrested.
They burnt down the villages. We had to go live in the bush. That was difficult because we had a baby.
And the police came in with guns and pointing them at us and handcuffed us. Searched all our house, took everything away, and took us to the detention center. And that was the beginning of our imprisonment.
I was taken to prison, all alone, scared. But I trusted in Jehovah that only he could protect me.
During that entire time, what helped me was the thought that Jehovah God would strengthen me, that he was by my side.
Every day, I would review all the scriptures in my mind and go over them. That was the first thing I did in the day. So, never in any time, although I didn't have a Bible, did I feel any spiritual loss or weakness.
During the difficult moments with the baby, we always prayed to Jehovah. I saw Jehovah as my father, as a real person.
It was like I was hearing Jehovah's voice saying to me, "My daughter, don't worry, I am with you." So I never shrank back. I remained firm.
If I had valued myself, my freedom, my health, or material gain more than my relationship with Jehovah, I might not have chosen to serve Him. But because I loved Jehovah more than all these things, I was able to choose Jehovah, even if that meant that I had to serve time in prison.
Now I can freely serve God, attend religious meetings, and go into ministry with my family.
I felt that Jehovah's hand was with me. That fear disappeared.
The one who gave me so much strength was Jehovah.
If you love Jehovah, love has no fear. Love banishes fear.
And I can only say that my life, in spite of everything, has been pleasant. And I've been so happy. In fact, there's been so many occasions when it's been positive joy. See? So I feel that is because I've always kept Jehovah right in front of my mind. And I'm confident that brothers and sisters that do the same will find Jehovah will bless them as He's blessed me.
The fact that Jehovah will never forget the loyalty we show Him and the hope of paradise that He has given us helps me to feel His love, overcome my fear, and become determined to serve Him loyally forever.
Did those brothers and sisters look happy? Not that they'd endured persecution, but they'd come off victorious. It looks like they'd received something valuable. Well, they did. They received an inheritance. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 says, "This is the heritage of the servants of Jehovah." We've seen the example passed down from generation for centuries, from pre-Christian times to early Christians to the ones now that are sitting giving a faithful example of their courage. Our heritage is the spiritual peace that results from knowing Jehovah's saving power. Nothing can separate us from Jehovah's love. No weapon that Satan has can take away that peace. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, "On the contrary, in all these things, we are coming off completely victorious through the one who loved us." Yes, you are acquiring now the reinforcement spiritually from that one that loves us. With the spiritual strength that you are putting together now, you will be able to conquer any of Satan's weapons. Why? Because Jehovah promised you.
Thank you, Brother Sweeney. How encouraging it was to consider the faith and love shown by our brothers and sisters, past and present. Throughout the rest of the convention, we will learn how we can show similar trust in Jehovah.